Cabernet tends to be the sort of Errol Flynn of the grape varieties.
The most expensive beer in history.
People will turn around to me and say, oh, I'm just making gin while I wait for my whiskey to get ready.
Because wine is an adventure.
Conventional winemakers who just condemn all natural wine as faulty.
The prestigious title of Sake Samurai.
Looking at whiskey in more of an artful culinary way.
They kind of look at it as a novelty more than anything. The guy from the rock bands is making wine.
This is the Drinks Adventures podcast. I'm James Atkinson, and this is the show where I speak to some of the world's most exciting producers of beer, wine, and spirits and uncover trends and issues in the drinks industry today. The name Orlando Wines is likely very familiar to those of you in Australia who are seasoned wine drinkers. Founded by the Gramp family in 1847, Orlando was considered one of Australia's top producers of quality wine, winning more than 1,000 awards and accolades since records began in the 1980s. The brand returned to shelves in October 2020 with icons such as Steingarten Riesling, Jacaranda Ridge Cabernet, and Lawson's Shiraz, joined by some new wines that are fresh and on trend, such as a Barossa Grenache and some contemporary-style Chardonnays. In this special episode, Orlando chief winemaker Ben Tommen shares with you the story behind the relaunch and everything you need to know about these exciting new wines, which excel across the board in showcasing some of South Australia's leading wine regions. You'll also hear some brilliant archive audio we managed to access that helps tell the story of Orlando, including excerpts from an interview with the late Colin Gramp, a hugely important figure in the Australian wine industry. I hope you enjoy this episode that we've been able to produce with the support of Orlando Wines. Orlando Wines returned to Australian shelves in October 2020 with two ranges, the Legends and the New Heroes. The chief winemaker for the brand is Ben Tommen.
It's super exciting, but it's also really humbling because I know there are a lot of people who love the brand, particularly that live in the Barossa. We really want to do it justice. There's a lot of heritage to the brand. It was a pioneering, one of the pioneering wine businesses within Australia in that sort of transition from fortified wine back to top-class table wines back in the 50s and 60s, as you've mentioned. And I guess there's a little bit of pressure. I feel that a bit, but, you know, you want to do it justice, and it is a great brand. There's a lot of great big old wine brands in the Australian industry, and it's good to see that them remain.
Orlando played a major role in the transition of Australian wine consumption from fortified to table wines in the 50s and 60s. By the 70s, it had become a household name.
People like to keep Coolabah to themselves.
Orlando Coolabah is so much better.
Orlando Coolabah, a flagon wine worth finding a few extra cents for.
But the company's origins actually go back to the 19th century.
Well, I guess it really dates back to 1847 when the Grant family first planted their grapes in the Barossa Valley, and it's essentially grown there as a family business. Orlando was registered as a trademark in the early 1900s. Basically, the winery was in Roland Flat, and Orlando is the German form for Roland.
In the early 1950s, the late Colin Gramp, fourth generation, learned about the cold fermentation technologies that were being deployed by winemakers overseas.
I could never get over how the quality improved with cold fermentation. In 52, we decided to get a couple of tanks. And I'll never forget the time when Riesling started fermenting in these pressure vessels. 6 months later, it received first prizes at both the Sydney and the Melbourne wine shows. So we can say that we revolutionised the white table wine practice in Australia.
Colin Gramp passed away in August 2020, aged 98.
Of course, in 54, was able to persuade the board to allow me to go to Europe and particularly Germany and buy extra tanks because the demand was increasing. William Geis from Salzwerker, who supplied the bottling equipment, said to me, why don't you consider marketing pearl wine in Australia?
A light, delicate, fruity style of sparkling Pearl wine was phenomenally successful in Germany and would prove to be the same in Australia.
In 1956, we launched the Barossa Pearl, which caught Australia by a storm, and it caught us by storm too, because we would never realise that the demand would be so great for this style of wine.
Where there's a party, there's pearl. Where there's a party, there's pearl. Where there's a party, there's pearl.
Barossa Pearl. Gay, romantic, the happy wine.
Barossa Pearl, made only by Orlando.
I hear today from staunch red wine drinkers, Colin, you taught us how to drink wine through Barossa Pearl. Barossa Pearl did help greatly with the switch from fortified to table wines. And once they had Barossa Pearl moved on into a Riesling and then red table wines.
Orlando Wines has been out of the limelight in recent decades, with owner Pernod Ricard focusing its attentions on the affiliated Jacobs Creek brand. Two wines continued the Orlando label's unbroken lineage.
I guess Jacaranda Ridge Coonawarra Cabernet and the Lawson's Pathway Shiraz have always been under the Orlando banner. But in the mid-2000s, Jacobs Creek was used for Steingarten and Centenary Hill as well. So those wines were moved into that brand because it had a bit of an international reach. So the business felt that they fit better there. But now with the relaunch of Orlando, we feel that they fit better in the Orlando offering.
Those reds that have been around for a few decades now, tell me about how those wine styles have evolved. Yeah. Since the early years, because hopefully you've had an opportunity to taste those from time to time, the museum stock.
Yeah, so we're definitely, whilst I talk about maintaining that sort of respect of the past and keeping styles similar, you need to evolve. You need to make sure you don't, you know, your wines don't become a dinosaur and that they're irrelevant. But, you know, we still want to pay that respect to the past. So if we're looking at Lawson's Pathway Shiraz, it's a really unique site down in Pathway. It's an old tea trellis. We've made a wine from that block since the early 80s. There's some eucalypts around there, so they do impart that bit of the Australian terroir to that wine, a bit of eucalypt character. And we don't shy away from that. We use a bit of American oak, which, you know, some people are moving away from American oak, but we still stick to those, I guess, to, you know, the tradition to a degree, but also try to make it relevant. So whether with Centenary Hill, for example, use a little bit of whole bunch in that now, but in the past it wasn't used before. And sort of dialing back the American oak component a little bit, but still keeping it there, still keeping, like, we've got a lot of consumers that know the style, they love it, and they want to see some of those elements there, but they also, you like to take them on the journey, like, where's, you know, the wine industry moving as far as that evolution.
Steingarten Eden Valley Riesling is one of the Orlando wines you may already be familiar with. The first Riesling of its kind in Australia, Steingarten is an Australian benchmark and one of the country's most awarded Rieslings.
The other challenge was to try and produce a Riesling very similar to what was being produced on the banks of the Moselle and the Rhine. We had a paddock. I decided that a section of it could be transformed to an experimental vineyard. Of course, we had to rip up the rocky ground, send people in with stone hammers to break up the big rocks. Much to our amazement, the following year, the young vines seemed to be thriving. Grapes that have been picked from that vineyard produce a wine very similar to that on the Moselle.
Steingarten, the point is to really make an ageable Riesling that is going to be a very linear, acid-driven wine with nice citrus characters to it. And we have maintained that style throughout the duration of, you know, Steingarten's existence. We won't sway from that. We're not pushing the sulfides or any of these other funky characters. We have a great following for Steingarten. It's been a popular wine for, you know, 50-odd years. We've released the 2019 now with the relaunch of Orlando. That wine is amazing. It looks stunning. It was actually quite a tough vintage. It was obviously been in drought and it's been quite hot lately. So the philosophy behind the Steingarten wine is that it pays homage to the Steingarten vineyard but doesn't necessarily take fruit exclusively from that site. It's a great wine. It's in fairly small quantities because it was a tough vintage, but we luckily had access to some really good fruit from the Eden Valley in 2019 to make that wine.
There's two Chardonnays in the range, both what I would say are very contemporary sorts of styles, but very different as well. Yep. And the Lindale is the one that I believe that is a label that has existed as part of Orlando.
Actually, that's the one exception to the Legends range, where it's a Lindale was first released as the 2016 vintage under Jacobs Creek, and the idea there was to create a top quality Australian style Chardonnay to go into Jacobs Creek. And as we did the relaunch structured the relaunch for Orlando, we realised that that style of Chardonnay really is establishing itself as a classic Australian style of Chardonnay, that it would fit better in the Legends range. And so we've moved that from Jacobs Creek into Orlando, and it's now part of what we're referring to as the Legends.
And so tell me about the style contrast between that and the Hillary.
So Lindale, I guess, it's a bit more of everything. They've both got elements of barrel fermentation and fermenting with solids to try and drive some interest in some slight sulfide characters and make them a little bit funky. But I guess everything with Lindale's dialed up a little bit. The fruit quality, it's absolutely top notch. It's basically all hand harvested, whole bunch pressed. It receives the best French oak, all in large format puncheons. So we're looking at about 60% new French oak with those from some top notch coopers. And the Hillary, in comparison to that, is a little bit more fruit forward, a little bit more, approachable in its youth. Lindale's one of those wines that you can also do with a couple of years in the cellar, whereas Hillary's more, I guess, drink now, a bit more fruit forward, but still with some, you know, complexing elements. So there is some sulfide notes in there as well, and there's obviously a small element of new oak as well.
Together with the Hillary Chardonnay in the New Heroes range are three other wines, the Cellar 13 Barossa Grenache.
There's elements of oak in there, but it's really dialed back, where it's not overripe. It's 14.5% alcohol, so a lot of, you know, Barossa Grenache can really get up above 15. So we're definitely aiming for, I like that expression, the Barossa Pinot. It's really good.
The Prince Shed Northern Barossa Shiraz.
That Northern Barossa vineyards can give us some really dark fruits, but with actually quite a sweet tannin profile, so they're really quite approachable in their youth.
And the Bungalow Lane Barossa Cabernet.
I guess people know the Barossa as being, you know, the region of Grenache, Shiraz and the Riesling from the Eden Valley, but maybe not so many people know that it can also make fantastic Cabernet in great years. So,
which of the wines are you personally most excited about?
I absolutely adore the Grenache. If we're looking at the New Heroes range in particular, it's... We set about when we made this wine, it's a little bit of a kitchen sink. There's a lot of different things going on in that wine, but we wanted one of the wines that's, you know, Grenache is a bit of the moment. People are loving the juicy, fruity, you know, raspberry and Turkish delight, but we wanted to make a wine that had that element and was also quite serious underneath, with a really tight, grainy tannin structure and nice acid drive. So we want to suck people in with that wine and get them to love it, but know that they can put that wine in the cellar and look at it again in 10 years and it's going to still be delivering for them. So that's, right now I'm loving that, but Steingarten has to be a favourite of mine in terms of it's got such an amazing legacy. It is a great wine for ageing. It's a great wine for drinking now. And as we're moving into spring, it's a wine that if I've ever got a special occasion at home during spring or summer, Steingarten's the first thing I'll drink.
And Ben has another recommendation for you from the Orlando range if you're looking for something to put in the cellar.
I love aged Coonawarra Cabernet, so I would say the Jacaranda Ridge Coonawarra Cabernet would do well with maybe 10, 15 years in the cellar and then bring that out for a special occasion. We ended up choosing 100% new oak on this wine, which is really starting to integrate in well after 5 years in the bottle. And we've gone for a blend of both French and Hungarian oak. So French oak obviously works really well with Cabernet, we know that. But the Hungarian oak actually brings this beautiful spicy element into the Jacaranda Ridge that I think really suits that wine and that vintage really well.
Looking back on my time in the industry, I can proudly say that my finest achievements are the introduction of cold and pressure fermentation, followed by Barossa Pearl, which helped to transform Australian wine drinkers into enjoying table wines with their food. And then, of course, was Steingarten.
And you can find the Orlando range in selected Dan Murphy stores across Australia. The Drinks Adventures podcast is produced by me, James Atkinson, with additional production and mixing by Dave Robertson. You can find complete transcripts, links, and other information on the show at drinksadventures.com.au. You can follow me on all social media platforms at by James Atkinson. Like my Facebook page, James Atkinson Drinks Adventures, to be kept informed of podcast giveaways and other news about the show. The Drinks Adventures podcast needs your support as listeners. Please do us a favour and leave an honest review and rating for the podcast on iTunes or Stitcher. We love hearing your feedback, and it helps inform other people this is a show worth listening to. or simply drop us a line at hello@drinksadventures.com.au.